My name is Vince. I'm a Vietnamese first-generation college graduate from the University of California, Santa Barbara. And join me on One Fly Trio to hear about my journey to one day become a physician.
One Fly Trio is a lively and engaging podcast designed to be your guide and mentor as you navigate the often challenging world of higher education. Your host, Linnell, a college admissions and financial aid guru.
And Rashid, a dedicated advocate for the success of underrepresented communities, team up with a rotating guest host who has lived the first generation, limited income, fly experience.
One Fly Trio will explore all aspects of the college journey, from college essays and financial aid and course selection to social life, internships, post-graduation plans, and more. We take a deep dive into the factors that contribute to success in college and beyond, demystifying areas that have historically been challenging for underrepresented communities.
Each episode is packed with real stories, expert advice, and actionable tips, all delivered in a fun, easy-to-digest format. Join us on One Fly Trio as we break down barriers, challenge stereotypes, and empower students to achieve their dreams. Because when it comes to success,
we're all in this together. All right, Vince, thank you so much for being with us today. Can you kick things off for us by telling us about you? You know, what do you want our listeners to sort of know about your story and your background and where you're from? Please feel free to share.
My name's Vince. My full name's Vincent, but I'm a recent graduate from UC Santa Barbara. I'm a first-generation college student, and hometown's from Anaheim, California, in Orange County. Right now, I'm kind of in my like gap year, kind of just, you know, going with the flow, seeing what else is offered in the world. And spend some time with the Ham Fam, trying to reconnect with some folks that... There's some folks that I haven't been able to keep in touch with, but yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Is there anything in your background that you'd like to share just as you think about sort of your own personal journey and path that has led you to college that you think may resonate with some of our listeners and people who are tuning in?
Yeah, so... I grew up in Anaheim, California. I know the first thing that a lot of people think about when they hear Anaheim, California is Disneyland. You know, there's like a lot of money there, which is a total misconception of, I'm on like the backside. I'm like near like the backside of like Disneyland and stuff. But, I grew up as a first generation student. In my family, it's my mom and dad, my sister, and then we also have some aunts, uncles, and then some grandparents all live in the house. So it's a very, very cozy, very busy house. You know, there's always a pros and cons of that. But I grew up, first generation, low income. I think that at the time, I didn't know that like I would be considered what like low income is. Like, you know, I was like, you know, not, there's always that misconception or that always thing where it's like, I wouldn't know if I would label myself that, but I think it's mainly just because like, this is just like the norm that I've like always grown up with, like, especially in this area. I think that, especially in my like neighborhood and community, it's just, you know, we all have similar upbringings and like similar, you know, stories and backgrounds. So it wasn't anything that I felt was any different for me until, you know, I'm in high school and I came across a little program called Hamilton Scholars that, you know, kind of reminded me that, you know, it's okay to say that you endured this and you were able to make it past that. And I think that's just like such an important thing that like, it's okay to admit sometimes when, you know, life is a little tough. Life is a little tough. And, you know, just because the whole community or like your, you know, immediate community that you have here, that's like, you know, everyone's facing similar things such as like food insecurity, you know, housing crisis and stuff. Just because like your immediate community, everyone's like, you know, experience doesn't mean like it's normal, you know, it doesn't mean that's like something that you have to always accept. So I think that was like the really, really cool, like kind of like awakening thing that when I was in high school, a little 16-year-old getting empowered during that moment. But Yeah.
And I got to say, Vince, thank you for sharing such a personal aspect of your story, right? When you sit back and you reflect on where you were at, you had made the mention that sort of this first generation limited income label that, you know, kind of comes about as you go through the collegiate experience. You weren't even aware of that until you started exploring and looking into the path of college. Was that always a path that you knew you were going to take? How did that come about?
So, I think like, you know, the first like immediate thought about like college is just like, how are you going to pay for that? You know, I feel like in high school, like the first thing I learned about like in terms of college wasn't about what majors offered at the colleges I like, but rather how much is it going to cost me like in like to finish 4 years, you know, during that time. So yeah, I was mainly just looking towards like seeing like, how am I going to pay for this, man? Like, I don't even know if I have money to pay for lunch next week. Like, I definitely just like was looking through, people always say like people bring up like big scholarship names. Like, there's always like those, like the Coca-Cola scholarship or like these other things that, you know, that like teachers and like counselors always tell you, like, you know, these are the big ones, like, you know, but then there's also like these kind of like other like smaller, like tight knit communities that like, also give you like support, like maybe not monetarily, but they give you like the tools and resources, like to be able to like figure stuff out like that. So I think that was definitely just where I started. Like, how am I going to pay for this? And like, who do I have to support me on this? Because it was definitely about myself, especially since my parents didn't go to college or anything. So, yeah.
And so as you began to uncover that, sorry, Linnell, look like you're about to ask a question, but real quick, as you were beginning to uncover sort of how you're going to pay for this, how did you get from, okay, how am I going to pay for this, to seeing these scholarships, to deciding, yeah, this is something I wanted to do?
I think as like, you know, a natural in my household upbringing, it was always important about like, you know, going to school, going to doing well. Cause I think that, especially like learning a lot from my parents, like the whole, the immigrant experience for them was that like attaining an education was like a way to like, you know, have a vertical like social mobility and stuff like that. And being able to, you know, being able to choose like what future and stuff that you want. So I feel like that was definitely instilled like by my parents, like from an early age. But in terms of going to college, yeah, it was hard to know like exactly like what I wanted to do, like, you know, with my job, my future. But I think that, having that like that family, like, you know, instillment of just maybe just go to college, you know, you'll figure it out there. Like, you'll meet a lot of people, you'll be able to, you know, look into different things. That was just like the main stuff. My goal, definitely my first goal, was just, you know, I'll get in and then I'll just take it a step at a time and see, you know, what I can do from there. But yeah, also definitely just like the, you know, there's always this like other part about like jobs and like higher ed and stuff that like, obviously I'm going to want to go to college so that I can be like, feel financially stable in the future and like, you know, get a good job and stuff. I feel like a lot of people don't really want to talk about that, especially when like, let's say like the medical field that I want to go into, you know, there's always like, when you ask like, you know, how much are your doctors making, how much are nurses making, there's always a little like little dance around the question. But, you know, like, if I'm going to be like so real right now, like, I was broke and I grew up broke and I wanted to be able to like, you know, advance and, you know, move my life in a different direction.
That's real. I appreciate that. Linnell, I know you're getting ready to ask a question.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for sharing that, Vince. One of the questions I have for you is how you arrived at where you did. What made you, so UCSB is otherwise known as University of California, Santa Barbara, for those who are on the East Coast like me. What made you choose UCSB?
Yeah, so I definitely knew when I was applying to college that I wanted to stay in California. You know, it's so many great things to love about California, the weather especially. And I knew that I wanted to be close from home just because my older sibling didn't get a chance to like move out for college or, you know, so it was like a big, really, really big thing for me to move, even if it was only like 30, 40 minutes away. So that was the first thing. I wanted to definitely stay in California just to, you know, help out my parents' sake, just so I'm not getting calls every night about what I'm doing or time zones and stuff. But that was the first thing. I remember I really, really wanted to go to UCLA for undergrad because I didn't know much about, like I said earlier, like, I didn't know much about like the majors or like anything. I just knew like, damn, everyone talks about UCLA. Like, that's the school. Like, that's like, that's it right there. But yeah, definitely. I definitely really wanted to go there, but then I ended up applying to a bunch of UCs, Cal States, and just seeing my options from there. And the day of decisions came and they released decisions and I'm like, opening. I'm like about to log into my phone right now. And I was like, this moment's going to change my life. And I got waitlisted at UCLA and I was like, okay, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. Let's like take a step back, reevaluate what like other schools I got into. Fortunately I was like able to be accepted to, all of the UCs in California. So I was like, you know what? Like, what's another like pretty good like name out there? I was like, oh, UC Berkeley, the first ever UC right there. And then I was like, you know, it's kind of far. And I don't know if like, I'm like a Berkeley person like that. I don't know if like, that's like my vibe right there. Like, not that there's like a certain like trope for Berkeley people, but, and then I was like, you know what? There's UCSB, UCI, UCSD. I was like, let's take a look at our financial aid packages. So that was another thing. Like I said earlier, it was really important that I was able to pay for college. So, thankfully, UCSB was able to give me a full ride there. And I went to go tour the campus. And I remember the immediate first thought was that, obviously, I didn't know what I was going to do with my job and career. Remember, I told you earlier, just take it a step at a time. Let's just go to college first. Walked onto campus. And I just remember it was just a great community where everyone was smiling. Everyone's coming back from the beach. Everyone's super nice to each other. Though, if you do ever visit the campus, do not walk on the bike path. They will not stop for you. So
do you know from personal experience, have you been run over?
Basically, we have this like unspoken rule where if you're like, let's say after freshman year and stuff, you're like a second year, third year, fourth year, you're pretty seasoned in the school already. We always say, try to avoid the bike path the first week of the quarter. Cause that's when the most bike accidents happen with all the freshmen. Cause UCSB is a bike campus, by the way. So we have like big roundabouts with like bikes and stuff. It's like, it's already hard with cars. Like, don't get me started with the bikes too. I literally remember like my first week, I tried going on the bike and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to walk this class. Like, it's not that serious. So, but yeah, just like the community was just great there. And that's definitely just where I got my footing in. And the funny thing is I also actually got off the wait list for UCLA. And I was like, you know, this is like a chance and stuff, but obviously they ran out of money, so I could not afford to attend the school, but I think it worked out, you know, for the better. And there's always that thing where there's like, your plans might not always go like as planned. And I just saw this like actual saying the other day that was like, if like things happen, like change your plan, not your goal. And I think that was just like a really, really important thing that kind of just like been sticking to me lately. And I think that was, you know, something that worked out for the better back then.
I love that. And you mentioned a few minutes ago that you were interested in going into the medical field. And my understanding is that goal has not changed, correct?
Yes, that goal has not changed.
Okay. Now, we also had an interesting conversation about a week or so ago. And I ended up finding a little bit about your college major that I thought was kind of interesting for somebody that wants to go to med school. Would you talk to us a little bit about what you majored in and kind of how that fits into going to med school?
Yeah. So I majored in chemistry and I had a minor in Asian American studies. So the way it works at Santa Barbara and just I'm sure a lot of other schools as well is for the major in chemistry, you actually are not required to take any MCDB or any like biology courses, which if you know anything about like medicine, pre-med stuff, like biology is like, that's like 90% of it right there. So I already bit myself in the leg right there. But I think it was mainly just because when I first went to college, I was just so scared. And I was like, you know, I want to be a doctor, but like, I don't think I can do it. Like, that's just, it's just a lot of school, a lot of money. And it's just like, classes seem hard. So I was like, you know, let's think about like what I'm like pretty good at. So I remember, this is actually a terrible way to pick your major, by the way, like do not do this. But I literally was like, you know what, I got an A in 10th grade chemistry class. So let's look into the chemistry major. And it wasn't until like third year, fourth year that I decided that, you know, I feel like I think I can become a doctor in the future someday. And, you know, to actually like believe myself then. But it was also like, I felt like I wouldn't be able to keep being able to afford college at this time if I were to change my major, like third year, fourth year, junior year into 2 years in already. So, you know, chemistry's always been something that I've been pretty interested in. It's definitely something that I enjoy doing, but it definitely put me on like a different track towards, you know, a traditional like pre-med student. But yeah, that was my major. And then in terms of my minor, it's just, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I really think what you're talking about is powerful, but you have an opportunity to unlock it a little bit more for our listeners, right? You're talking about, yeah, overcoming a lot of self-doubt and questioning if you're capable, right? What were some of the things that you did that helped you work through that to say, okay, this is something that I can do?
Yeah. I think the very first thing was having a community, finding a community that believes in me, regardless of like, you know, what I was going to be able to do in the future. I had my ham fam. If you didn't know, I'm a 2018 scholar. So I was fresh into college, just had our Seattle Leader Week. And I remember feeling so empowered that, you know, I can achieve any goal, but still having, you know, a couple of those doubts and stuff. So I think being able to find that community and just those mentors and going out to like different club events and different like places where I know that, you know, my accomplishments are going to be celebrated, or, you know, my failures are going to be like supported and comforted. There was that, what is that one saying that people say where it takes a village, definitely. So being able to just have a bunch of people to talk to and, yeah, and just having mentors and resources that will be able to point me in that right direction. Because I think, you know, being non-traditional pre-med student is, it's hard because, you know, you have that imposter syndrome where you're comparing yourself to like other people as well. And I feel like it can be really easy to, you know, lose sight of that goal that you're saying you're working towards. But, you know, like I said earlier, it's just change the path there, but not like the goal itself.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. Listeners, so what you just heard Vince talking about is really and truly developing and fostering a community around you, right? Identifying individuals who could be mentors, identifying others who are potentially on a similar path and journey that you can come together with and together grow and really help each other sort of move forward together. Love it, Vince. Thank you for that.
So Rashid, I'm just going to interrupt and say, you know, I love the way you bring this together in such a deep and meaningful way. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to totally out Vince on to how I found out about sort of this non-traditional path. I'm not sure I even knew your major. I knew you wanted to go to medical school. I knew you were working towards that goal. All great. There is a younger Hamilton scholar who was struggling a little bit with biology. And there's, you know, like a week left in his semester. And I call Vince, knowing that you were in a gap year and that your load was a little bit lighter right now. And I said, yeah. Vince, can you do a little quick tutoring for a final for biology? And he sends me back this very lovely note that was like, well, I'd be happy to, but I actually never took that class. And I'm thinking, but you want to go to med school, right? Don't you kind of have to know that? But which I got a huge kick out of, and I thought it was kind of funny. But actually, what it spoke to is this whole idea of change the path, not the goal. And you didn't have the means by which to spend another year or so in school to do that undergraduate coursework. So will you take a minute and tell us, you know, the MCAT is the medical school entrance exam test. And there is, in fact, biology on that test. And so as you were studying for the MCAT and you don't have that foundation in the biology, how did you make that a reality? How did you close that gap?
Oh, yeah, that's sorry to that younger hammy. You asked the wrong person. No, I'm just kidding. I'd be more than happy to talk about that. So I definitely knew, like, right before I was going to graduate that, you know, I'm going to have to take this test. Like, this seems hard. It's like 7 hours long. And I have, like, no idea what, like, is in biology except for, like, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Like, that's all I know from, like, high school. luckily, I was able to, you know, kind of take a step back and I started researching about, you know, what are different, like postgraduate support things. Because for those of you who have not graduated yet, it is a scary thing leaving your institution or, like, leaving your school. And because after that, you're kind of just, you feel like you're on your own, even though you still have this, like, great community out there. But you know, your life changes. Like, you're going from having, like, a schedule every day and that you've been used to for the last 4 years to kind of, you know, now you have to start, like, being very self-disciplined and just being able to tackle on these things, like, yourself. So that was the first thing I did, was I started researching about some possible, like, support programs and support things. And I was able to stumble upon this program actually at UCLA itself through the David Geffen School of Medicine, which is actually, it supports first generation low income students in, you know, in being able to be prepared for medical school in the future and applying. So through them, thankfully, I was able to, they were able to hook it up with some MCAT courses through, like, a certified, like, test prep program. So being able to be given those resources, that was, like, such, like, it was such a privilege and such, like, an honor to be able to be selected to be move forward with that. But yeah, it was hard. You know, they give you the books, but it's on your own to be able to read them. There's no, like, instructor right there to, you know, no office hours anymore, like, during, like, undergrad. And it was like extremely, extremely hard going through the summer. But that's when I tried to move forward and be like, you know, like, I recognize that, like, I can't do this alone and I'm struggling. So I decided to, you know, look out to other resources in my community. And I actually enrolled in a, like, intro to biology class at a local community college, because, you know, that was, like, what I could afford at the time. You know, being able to even one class was kind of expensive, mm-hmm. at, you know, even at, like, a community college. So definitely moving forward, that's the kind of, like, the pathway that I chose for that. And also bugging some of my other pre-med cohort members and about some questions. But that was my kind of, like, my non-traditional approach towards, like, trying to tackle that.
So the one thing that I love about that is that, you know, one will always encounter obstacles throughout their educational journey. It might be a teacher whose first language is not English, and they're really tough to understand. It might be a teacher. I had a teacher, my intro to economics class, who lectured at the blackboard. And so he was super, super hard to hear. And the one thing that I tell a lot of students is use your resources. You know, the one of the beauties of the internet is that there are so many other resources, and the onus is really on you to figure, you know, there's only so far blaming a teacher is going to get you. And sure, the obstacle might be real, But the fact of the matter is you're still paying for that class. You're still responsible for learning the material, and there are ways to do it. And so I think that as much as I kind of keep laughing at your journey because of the way it was revealed to me, I actually love, you know, it's just this other example of the grit and the fortitude and the persistence it takes to reach the goal. And the path is not always direct. And it's not always linear, but that doesn't mean it should kill the dream. So thank you for sharing that anecdote with us. And I assume the other young man has also figured out how to do the same.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so for him.
All right. I also love the fact that you found resources to help you with the MCAT, because those prep courses can be incredibly, and even just the materials, like wildly expensive. And so your research clearly paid dividends. But sorry, Rashid, off to you.
No, you're good to go. So as I step back and I reflect on hearing some of the things you've been sharing, right? One of the things that I think a lot of individuals who are part of this fly world, if you will, have a tendency to do is because they recognize the path that they traveled on may have been filled with different obstacles they've had to overcome in different ways. They're always thinking about those coming behind them. So can you talk about a point in time in your college career where you did something memorable to help those following behind you that you're super proud of?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that going into college, my college, it's not, there's no medical program. There's no associated like medical center connected to it. So, you know, I kind of shot myself in the leg right there choosing UCSB for that profession, but, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, definitely going into college, there wasn't really much like pretty transparent, like, you know, medical programs. There's no, specific courses, like we don't even have all the courses required to apply to medical school. So even if like you're a traditional pre-med student, like there are some things that you have to know to be able to like enlist or enroll in like other like community courses around there. So, you know, going to college, like even in high school, like I had no idea what it took to become a doctor. I had no idea how long it was going to take, or even just where to start. And I think it was especially hard too with like COVID and stuff happening. And, you know, I got sent home after like 6 months at my college. So, yeah. So fast forward a little bit to my senior year, you know, as I reflect on my time at UCSB and reflect on, you know, what it took for me to get here, and just all the things that, you know, I had to find out on my own and just be able to overcome. I decided, you know, I wanted to, you know, start a little program kind of inspired by the work that our community here at Hamilton does. And I started a little nonprofit organization of my own called Camp Med UCSB. Shout out to Camp Med. but basically, Camp Med UCSB is a nonprofit organization that provides quality mentorship and higher and education about the various healthcare fields to Title I FLY high school students within the Santa Barbara community. There's also some chapters at the University of California, Los Angeles, and the University of California, Irvine. But I would say, one of the most life-changing experiences that I have ever got to experience. It was, you know, it was meant for the students, but it was such a privilege and honor just to be able to, you know, be within the same space as all of these students as well. I remember doing my first high school outreach trip. You know, we're going to these different high schools. They don't really, you know who I am or what this organization is. But, you know, shout out to the teachers who believed in our message and, you know, gave me a platform to be able to speak in front of their students in there. And just, I was just in awe and in shock of, you know, I look at all of these students that are so passionate about these careers and their goals and the things that they have had to endure within the community. And I just saw like direct reflections of myself right there. And it was such a full circle, beautiful thing that while I'm closing out my chapter at UCSB, I'm closing out this small, like, you know, little part of my life. I'm helping to open this new chapter for all of these students. And so CapMed's been around for about a year now. And I actually just got like an Instagram message that they posted who their new camp counselors are, which are like, you know, undergrad students that, you know, we train and stuff. And there's actually a high school student who came to the camp that I hosted, and now she's a counselor. And it just made me so emotional, and it was beautiful. And like, people, you don't really understand about how, or it's hard to kind of see what you're working towards. Like, you know, in the very beginning, it's all paperwork, it's all like planning and all this stuff. But I think that like the most rewarding thing out of all, it wasn't like, you know, an award, it wasn't a monetary like prize or something, but, you know, being able to see like the impact you're making on like people's lives is just like right there firsthand. And it was so life-changing. It was amazing.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. Listeners, I hope you're as blown away as I am from what was just shared, right? So you've gotten a sense of Vince's tenacity, ability to form and forge community in different ways. And then, you know, as you just heard from this story, initiating and creating something in a space that he was super passionate about, trying to figure out the path he was going to take. And this wasn't there for him, so he went ahead and created it. So as you go on your own journey, don't hesitate. If you recognize there's a gap and an opportunity to develop something, figure out how you can bring it to life so that it makes it easier for others coming behind you. Thank you for that, Vince.
And how much better is our world when we take other people with us, you know, on such a great journey? So I have another question related to your journey. And that is, so you've been, you know, kind of working incredibly hard, studying diligently, and now you're taking a gap year. And that is not uncommon for people, particularly people who want to go to medical school. Can you talk to us a little bit about what drove that choice? What are you doing with that gap year? And is there anything, you're still doing a lot of work. Is there anything fun built into this year?
So I'll just take you step by step through like the process and everything. But as I said earlier, I decided I wanted to be a doctor, maybe third year, fourth year, and, you know, I recognize there's no way I'm going to be able to finish all these requirements and study for the MCAT and stuff. So, you know, when I first graduated, I wanted to dedicate some time to just taking the MCAT and, you know, obviously simultaneously having to pick up a restaurant job just to make some ends meet. But yeah, definitely taking some classes, studying for the MCAT. I felt that during that time while I was studying that there was so much of the world out there that, you know, I still haven't yet to see. And I wanted to be able to experience that before, you know, buckling down the books and, you know, starting med school and stuff. So, you know, I made that decision to extend my gap year, an extra gap year. I actually heard this thing over the summer that people call it a growth year. And I think that is such a great thing, a great like saying to say about that. But in terms of fun, no, not really. No, not super fun things. Except getting to chat with y'all. But yeah, pretty much just studying throughout this gap year, and then I also just joined the team at Hamilton Scholars as program coordinator. So it's been, you know, a great journey with that so far. Just being able to return after it's been maybe 7-8 years now with the Ham Fam. So that's pretty great so far. So. Just this year, I feel like I'm dedicating this year to studying and stuff, and then next year being able to volunteer, explore, see what else is out there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we are, Hamilton Scholars is so lucky to have you, not only because we know the quality of your work, and having A, followed you on this journey, and B, having had you as our summer intern 1 year. When we get you, we get kind of a known entity, which is always great. But there is nothing like having another young fly student or young fly alum, I guess, to mentor the people who are having those very same worries and concerns and uncertainties that you do. And they don't they don't have to then go kind of reinvent that wheel and find all those answers for themselves. So we're super, super grateful for you. And I think that was the last question. We have kind of our version of a little rapid fire thing, if you're okay with a couple of just super quick ones.
I'm more than happy to answer those. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So first question, what scared you most about going to college? And I think you kind of answered that, but I'll let you reiterate.
Oh yeah. What scared me most was, honestly, dude, I'm not going to lie. This sounds like crazy, but like the dining hall, like that was like, I was just scared I wasn't going to like any of it. And I was like, you know, I don't have money to buy food out all the time. Like I'm going to have to like eat this, but it was fine. It was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't okay. Too bad.
Okay. All right.
All right. Another one is a favorite college memory. So as you reflect on the journey you've taken to the point where you are today, what would you say is one of those memories that stands out?
I think my favorite college memory was getting to move in with all of my housemates. If you didn't know, UCSB, it's like a huge college. It's like a pretty like quaint little college town. So it wasn't like out of the ordinary for people to live in like doubles where it's like two people per room. So I live with five other guys in my house. And
wow.
I live with five other guys in my house. And I said earlier, I grew up with just an older sister. So it was like so nice having, you know, either like an older brother or like a younger brother like in the house. So getting to meet them and then, you know, they were with me through like hard times and through, you know, the best moments. So being able to find like those like friends that I know that when I come home to, you know, even though I might get a little annoyed if they don't do the dishes or something, but being able to have those like homies to like come home to was so great. Yeah. Those are my best friends.
I love that. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners of maybe a book, a podcast, a movie, something that has been impactful for you that you think our listeners should know about?
A book, movie. That's a good one. I do know that, okay, it's not like a specific like movie or anything, but they've been releasing like a lot of like Vietnamese language films in major theaters, which is like growing up, like you don't see that. And I live very close to like Vietnam Town. Like it's like down the street and there is like in my very wise 23 years of age. In my wise 23 years of age, I don't think I've ever seen like, you know, a Vietnamese like language feature film being featured in American theaters. So, you know, not a specific thing like that, but definitely just hit the box offices when you can and just enjoy like the beauty and stuff of those films. Even if, you know, as long as there's always that one quote from, I think it was an Oscar winner. You know, life gets a little bit better once you overcome that obstacle of subtitles. So, yeah, definitely go check out those films when you get the chance.
Well, and I love that you use the arts to kind of keep your culture, you know, involved in your daily life.
Yeah. Last one here. As you reflect, again, thinking about where you're at today, if you could go into a time machine and go back and have a conversation with yourself as you were preparing for the college journey, what's a piece of advice that you'd give yourself?
Man, if I could go back and talk to my younger self, I would definitely tell him just this one phrase of one step back and three steps forward. And being able to trust that process that, you know, even though you will have a couple setbacks, just remember your overall goal in the long run. And to maybe remember to sleep a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way he laughs as he says that. And Vince, the one thing that I think was so important in what you just said was that you will have setbacks. We all do. And so the first time that it happens, you know, it never feels good. It's never like super pleasant, but it is part of life. And so, you know, spend a small amount of time, you know, kind of lamenting the setback, but more time figuring out how you're going to keep going.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like that's like the biggest part is just overcoming that initial dark aura circle of like, you know, that setback. But
of what about if the cafeteria food is bad?
Yeah, there's also this like this other saying that's like in terms of like exactly what you're saying, like lamenting, accepting that, like, you know, grief and stuff is it's like a shadow, you know, even though the shadow, it's dark and stuff, it must mean there must be light nearby. Mm-hmm. I think that's such like an important thing to remember.
Excellent.
Vince, you've been super, super consistent in terms of this concept of keeping your eye on the goal and recognizing that sometimes the path that you're going to be traveling on may change, right? And so I just love how many different ways you've presented and spoken about that during the course of our interview today. Thank you for just your openness, attention to being able to address and answer all the different questions that we've had in a way that's extremely intimate to your own personal journey and experience, and being so willing to share that so broadly. Really and truly, thank you for that.
So grateful for you, Vince. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.